Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid. These are the words of God to the prophet Isaiah, and they are words that resonate with us today. Comfort, O comfort my people, we hear, and we lean in a little more. We want to be comforted. We need to be comforted. The world still sits in darkness. We still sit in darkness. We need comfort and we need light now as much as ever. Maybe now more than ever. We are in a time of unrest. We are in a time of trouble. Violence is on the rise, and no matter the reason and no matter our particular place on the political spectrum, one thing we can agree on is that the world right now is a scary place. And so when we hear God's prophets say that we are to be comforted, we look with eager anticipation for that promised time, that promised day to come. On some days, we may fear that it never will, that the roads will always be hazardous, not straight, and the course craggy and foreboding, not level and smooth. Those promised times of straight paths and smooth journeys can seem like an ancient foreign concept that has no bearing in a time of escalating violence, that could not even be imagined by someone like Isaiah. But before we become too caught up in the gloom and doom that is so widely published over and over in our world today, before we fall prey to the sin of thinking that we are the only folks who have endured trials and hardships, or that before this era in time the world was all sunshine and light, order and predictability prevailed, and justice rolled down like waters and righteousness like ever-flowing streams. Before we fall prey to that sin, let us remember what day it is today and the events that happened in our fairly recent history. For some of us, today has little or no broad meaning. If you're the churchy sort, you know it's the second Sunday of Advent, and if you're a really churchy sort, you may know that it's the day following St. Nicholas Day or the feast day of St. Ambrose of Milan. And many of you do know the significance of this day in our national history, that this is the 73rd anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, an event which catapulted our nation into involvement in World War II. Certainly, that was a time in need of comfort. Even though there was overwhelming support for our involvement in that war, that does not mean that there was overwhelming joy and light. The world suffered from the dark events in Germany, the dark events in London, the dark events in all corners of the world. Before and after December 7th, 1941, all sorts of events have happened on this date. The most deadly hotel fire on record occurred on December 7th in Atlanta in 1946. An earthquake in Armenia measuring 6.9 on the Richter scale, killing 25,000 and leaving 5 million homeless in 1988. Massacres and assassinations from 46 BCE to 1993 have happened on this date. God's people have always needed the comfort that only God can provide. With evidence and history like this, with the upheaval and mistrust that is so prevalent today, it would be easy to fall into despair, to feel hopeless. But we are not hopeless, and we are not alone. Psalm 121, on page 779 of the Book of Common Prayer, reminds us that we are not alone. We are not left comfortless. The psalmist states the human longing for God and assures us that God has not abandoned us, even if we have abandoned him. The psalm reads as this: I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. These are words of reassurance, words that remind us that even when our times seem so tumultuous and unpredictable, when we feel so unsure and insecure, the Lord is our protector that has not and will not abandon us. In our reading from 2 Peter, we are told, "Do not ignore this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. God's time is not our time. God is not limited to time and space like we are. So for us to feel like God has deserted us or that God is not acting in our time or on our time is a normal human condition. One day to God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. And while each of us have had days probably that we thought lasted an eternity, and months and years that literally seem to evaporate in an instant, we can't really say that we know what 1,000 years is like, other than through the eyes of history. We can see and study and analyze what 1,000 years is like, but we can't know it experientially. We can be assured, though, that God does know that, and that God still watches over us and has not abandoned us. Even in the darkest times, we can see glimmers of hope. We can catch rays of God's light shining in the world, of Christ entering the world on the faces of people in our world. I spent the earlier part of last week in Suwannee working on a book review that I was asked to write for the Suwannee Theological Review. You may be familiar with the book entitled Beyond the Burning Bus. It was written by Phil Noble, the first minister at First Presbyterian here in the 1960s. He was instrumental, along with many of the folks here at Grace, in working towards desegregation. And as I read, I swelled with pride as Reverend Noble mentioned on more than one occasion how instrumental Grace Church was in these efforts. I'm not going to get into the details of the book here. You may have lived those details, or you might find the book an interesting read. The point that stuck with me, that continues to stick with me, is that at a time of serious unrest, racial divide and turmoil, not horribly far from what we're seeing emerging today, there were people who came together to avert and thwart violence in Anniston. There were people who shone a light in the darkness, not only for this community, but for the whole South and really the country as a whole. They weren't perfect people. And the end result of desegregation was not perfect, as we see today. But it was an effort, and it was the right effort. And perhaps we can learn from that effort again today. Just yesterday morning, I watched with great joy what seemed like a multitude of people come through the doors of Grace Church in Tyler Hall to receive beans and rice and also blankets and coats and mittens and scarves. When I got to the church yesterday morning, I thought we'd be left with a lot of warm clothing that could be taken to other agencies to continue to spread the love. When I left, just a couple of hours later, there was not even a handful of items left. We had given out well over 100 bags of beans, rice, bread, produce, and peanut butter. Folks were grateful on both sides because both sides were on the receiving end. Those who needed food now have food. Those who needed warm clothing now have warm clothing. Those who needed a smile got a smile. And those who needed to share were able to share. There are beams of light in the darkness. Christ's love is still breaking in, stirring and moving in our world. There are plenty of places where we can find that light. There are plenty of places that we can usher in that light. There is a voice still in the wilderness crying. The way still needs to be prepared in our hearts, in our lives, and in our world. Amen.